Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I know you can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome to another edition, a playoff edition, mind you, of The Standard is the Standard, the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com podcast. Joined with me always is my co-host, Lance Williams. He missed last week. Lance, how's it going out there on the West Coast?
Hey, man, I'm doing fantastic. Just El Nino is hitting California pretty hard, a lot of rain. We need it, so it's a good thing. Want to wish everybody listening to the program, Steeler Nation, a happy new year. Happy 2016. Hopefully all you guys brought it in safe as we were all given a nice New Year's present by the Buffalo Bills. Want to thank Buffalo Bills, Bills Nation. Holla at your boy. Enjoy the Primanis that Primanis brother sent up to the Buffalo Bills and all those guys up there because the Steelers are dancing. They're putting on their tap shoes. And when the Steelers are in the dance, we got a chance.
Man, you're busting out the rhymes already. It is early, man. You got to hold some of that for the later. I mean, I get the teaser thing, but you come on now. Let's not give away too much early, all right? Lance, we didn't get the chance to talk last week, on the air at least. And I wanted to get your feeling about Week 17. I wanted to get a feel from you about whether you were optimistic, pessimistic going into that game in terms of the Steelers' chances of making the playoffs. And what was your reaction when you saw the Bills actually beat the Jets and the Steelers punched their ticket?
I was probably about 60-40 that it wouldn't happen. And the 40% was, it's the Jets. They'll figure out something. But it looks like that probably should have been 70-30 tilted to the side, that the Jets would just be the Jets. Now, I happened to be at my daughter's soccer game when the score was announced, and I jumped up and started singing, dancing, dancing, dancing machine, watch it get down, as a do-do-do-do-do, on the scene. And people looked at me like I was funny, but a Steeler fan sitting on the other side of the bench joined me, and we formed a nice harmony of happiness.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I had some family over to watch the game, and I think it was after the Austin Davis sack fumble by Lawrence Timmons, which was recovered by Arthur Most, and I think the Steelers scored maybe either on the next play or two plays after that, and it kind of iced the game. I turned it over and was watching majority of the Bills game, and you're just sitting there and you're waiting because when Dan Carpenter missed that extra point, I don't know if he followed as closely as I did, when he missed that extra point, I just kept on thinking, I said, that point is going to come back and haunt this team, and it would have because they would have had a four-point lead, but it was just three. And you're thinking, but then they kick the field goal, they go up, and you're looking at it like, man, I didn't see the Bills choking. I just see him choking, and there was that nice throw by Fitzpatrick down the sideline. I don't know what receiver it was to. It wasn't Brandon Marshall. It wasn't Eric Decker. And he looks like the guy hauls in the pass, but gets broken up, and the next play is an interception. I stood up and jumped up and down in my basement, and we were high-fiving each other. And my wife looked at me and said, "This isn't even the Steelers. What are you doing?" And I said, "You don't understand." And so, nonetheless, the Steelers are in. They beat the Browns. They finished 10-6. Now, I wanted to take a minute before we get talking about the playoffs and all that good stuff. I wanted to get your feel about the 2015 regular season, because before it was on game day last Sunday, I was getting sick and tired of people saying that the Steelers don't deserve to be in the playoffs. And I wrote a commentary on the website about how they do deserve it based on the, you know, the trials and tribulations that they've been through, which I would say was more than most. And they had to play three quarterbacks. It's all pros are missing, like Le'Veon Bell and Marquise Pouncey. They lose Kelvin Beachum. All those things that have happened to this team. Ben Roethlisberger for four games. Can't forget that. I said they do deserve to get in the playoffs. If they don't, then I understand that. But I think if anyone deserves it, my Pittsburgh would be on that short list. What's your overall feeling of the Steelers? They finished 10-6 in the regular season. What were your thoughts on this season, the regular season, mind you, as they head into the playoffs?
Full disclosure, listeners. If you guys follow me on Twitter, at one point I was so frustrated with how they were playing. I was just like, man, don't even worry about it. They're going to just lose. And it's going to save us all from having cardiac arrest. So I want to go full disclosure there. But it was a Jedi mind trick. I was trying to be as pessimistic as possible so they would win. You know, the Jedi mind trick that I was doing. And also, you know, I want to keep it 100 with you guys. Full disclosure, full honesty. I was in that crowd last week when they lost to the Ravens. I was kind of hot, saying that they don't deserve it. But I will, I'll backtrack off of that with a quote, and I believe it's from Riddick, the movie Riddick. You keep what you kill. If 10-6 is good enough to get to the playoffs, well, golly, it's good enough. The Jets had an opportunity to go 11-5 and get to the playoffs, and they shit the bed like the Steelers did against the Ravens, just at the wrong time. So you keep what you kill. 10-6 was good enough to get in. You don't have to apologize. It's not a beauty contest. Get to the dance, make it happen, and you might get a seventh ring. So they deserve to be there because what they did was good enough to get them in. Simple as that.
Right. Now, I get all that, and I agree with you 100%. At the same time, though, like let's look at some of the stuff that they went through. They had the toughest schedule based off of 2014 winning percentage of their opponents. They had some heavy travel going to Seattle and places like that and into Kansas City. Were you pleased with 10 wins? I mean, I can't remember. We were trying to figure it out on the prediction special whether you predicted 9-7 or 10-6. 10-6, I mean, you got to have a pretty good feeling about this team after a 10-6 season, right?
This team is really close. I mean, they have some defensive liabilities, particularly on the back end. But given what they went through, you know, Le'Veon, I believe, playing five games, Martavis Bryant with a suspension, Ben Roethlisberger getting hurt, them having to play Mike Vick, Landry Jones. To win 10 games with that schedule and several games that were winnable, I never like to say they should have won, because if you should have won, you would have won. But there are some games that are in question that if they get a break here or there, they win those games. So easily this could have been a 12-win team with a 1 seed or a 2 seed with a bye, given the inconsistent back end and a young defense with a new coordinator that's in full-on transition. So the sky is the limit moving forward. Granted, they have some very good drafts moving forward, and the quarterback and some of the key playmakers on offense stay relatively healthy. So I think Steelers fans should be very excited regardless of what happens on Saturday moving forward.
I agree. I think that this Steelers football team is only going to get better. In a free agency, there's a lot of question marks there. We're not going to talk about that tonight. There's a lot of things to talk about that are more pertinent that are right in front of us. And if they lose at any point or even after the season, if they win the Super Bowl, we will certainly have a follow-up show. We talk about free agency, what to do with some of these decisions, the salary cap, and all that stuff. But I agree with you. 10-6, I think if you run down the gambit of things that have happened to this team and you say, all that happens and they win 10 games, would you take it? And I think every single one of us would take it to the bank immediately and say, absolutely. Now, getting ready for the playoff game this Saturday, the biggest talking point among Steeler fans by far is, well, one of two things. I think that the top of the list would be the ankle injury to D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams has filled in really, really well for the Steelers in Le'Veon Bell's absence. Now, I have two questions for you, Lance. The first is, D'Angelo Williams was brought in as an insurance policy if Le'Veon Bell goes down, and obviously he did. And I would say to D'Angelo Williams, who almost rushed for 1,000 yards and with, you know, hardly getting any carries for 3 to 4 weeks when Bell was in the lineup, he did that very well. He was more than anyone thought he would be. Do you think that the Steelers failed still to address the depth at the running back position even after Le'Veon Bell was put on injured reserve, or do you think that this is just how they do business? Because now you're almost faced with a very similar situation as the Steelers were in 2014, when Le'Veon Bell went down, LeGarrette Blount had already jettisoned to the New England Patriots again, and they were stuck with Ben Tate, Dree Archer, and Josh Harris in the playoff game. Do you think that the front office could almost be to blame for the fact that they didn't address the depth when Bell was put on injured reserve?
I'm going to answer it two ways. And, Jeff, let me ask you a question. Do you smell my sense of positivity today? Do you sense it?
You know, I can, and it's really weird. Like, you're really throwing me off because I'm used to you being, like, you know, you're like the Grump, the Grinch, you know, and they stink and they're going to lose. And you're all positive. I mean, like, what did you do? Take a happy pill before this or something? I mean, I'm okay with it. Trust me, Chris Carter and I, and he's on the lines tonight. We love the positivity, man. We need more positivity in Steeler Nation. But I'm waiting for the pessimistic Lance to come out. I think he'll come out before the end of the night. But go ahead in terms of the front office with D'Angelo Williams.
Let me answer it two ways. In terms of the overall addressing the backup running back position given Le'Veon Bell's suspension if he gets hurt, they did a fantastic job. D'Angelo Williams might be the NFL comeback player year. He's definitely probably the best free agent signing of the season. Definitely on the offensive side of football. But did not address his backup situation. Now, no disrespect to the young man who may indeed start this weekend, but I'm going to call him Toussaint L'Ouverture. I know his last name. I don't know his first name. But I'm going to grant him the title of the Haitian rebel who overthrew the French, Toussaint L'Ouverture. Who is that guy? If he's going to be your backup, exactly, Toussaint L'Ouverture. If he's going to be your backup, you did not address it. And unfortunately, if D'Angelo Williams does not eat Shinsu beans, for all those Dragon Ball Z fans out there, the Steelers might be in some serious trouble this weekend if he doesn't have a miraculous recovery and doesn't play an important role in Saturday's upcoming playoff game. So, no, I think they failed to address that moving forward, given the fragility of the running back position.
Yeah, it's tough to argue the other side of the fence. It really is, because it would be one thing if Bell was hurt and they're looking at it almost like in a Marquise Townsend type of way where, well, there's a possibility that he comes back. But at the same time, when he gets placed on injured reserve, now you're looking at, okay, D'Angelo Williams is the guy. We know that Mike Tomlin will run running backs until their wheels fall off. He openly stated several times in his press conferences that he honestly didn't care about how many carries that he had. He thought that he was in good shape, that he had plenty of wear on the tires after being in a two-back system in Carolina. I just felt like, and I don't even know if there were running backs on the market. I didn't do a search. I didn't look. I'm not going to lie about that. But I'm sure there was someone more accomplished than Jordan Todman and Fitzgerald Toussaint, and that's his actual name, by the way. And I think that this is a serious situation. You can't, in my opinion, after what you went through in 2014, I just don't see how you go into the final quarter of the season with that mentality again. And that is, we're going to ride our starter and hope he doesn't get hurt. And then you watch him as the same stupid injury, not the same injury, but the same thing happened. And here they are again, then looking in the AFC wildcard game against a division opponent, and there's a chance that he won't play. I just find it mind-boggling. I definitely think there are some fingers that need to be pointed. I just don't know who those would be directed towards. Who do you think that would be, Lance? Like, would that be Tomlin, Colbert, all of them together?
It's probably both. I mean, I'm sure that Colbert is getting some input from the coaching staff and Tomlin as to whether they think Fitzgerald, Toussaint, a.k.a. Toussaint Louverture, or Todman can handle the backup role after D'Angelo Williams. So, you know, I'm sure Colbert's getting input from the staff. So it's probably a combination of both, but I would probably put it more on Tomlin and the staff. And Colbert's probably reacting to whatever information they get.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I will say this, and I talked to you a little before we went on the air. Those that are wondering about D'Angelo Williams' availability this Saturday, this is no way, shape, or form gospel, so do not go running to anybody. But a little birdie did tell me, and this is someone that is in the Pittsburgh area, at the orthopedic where D'Angelo Williams is going for rehab. They saw D'Angelo Williams there, and they asked him up front, do you think you'll play this weekend? And he said, I think so. Take that with a grain of salt. It's a professional athlete with a fan. What do you think they're going to say? You going to play? No, I'm not playing. They wouldn't say that. But they did talk to the person that worked with him that day, and even the trainer said, not in front of D'Angelo Williams, that I think that he's going to be good to go. He was seen without his boot after practice. He wore his boot into the facility in the morning. He went through treatment. He didn't speak to reporters. He did not practice today. What is your gut feeling, Lance, about whether D'Angelo Williams plays this Saturday or not? And second part of the question, how impactful is his presence on the field?
My gut says he plays. My gut also says he won't be the D'Angelo Williams that we saw this season. But I don't want to answer the last question because we're going to get into that. But my gut says he plays, but I don't think he's going to be at 100% or anywhere near it.
Yeah. Well, you know what they might do is they might say, look, can you pick up a blitz? You know, can you stand next to Ben in the shotgun and can you pick up a blitz? And if he can do that, maybe they feel that they can run the ball with Toussaint and Todman, and they want him there as a primary blitz pickup option. And that's certainly an option. Now, I don't want to cut you off if you're going to say something, Lance, but I want to tell the fans listening, if you want to call in, you can. The phone number is 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. And no surprise to anyone, we already have our Hall of Fame caller, Vito, from New Jersey, on the line. Vito, how are you doing, my friend?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Python.
Great.
How are you? I guess I was thinking about this before Jeff and Lance. Last year, when they played in the wild card game, did we not have the same type of receiving core that we had this year? Didn't we have Wheaton, Bryant, and Antonio Brown minus Le'Veon Bell?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Okay. Yes.
So I guess my question is, Ben is saying that we're better prepared now than we were last year in the running back situation, but at the same time, we have the same type of players on the field going now that we had last year. Correct me if I'm wrong. So that game seemed like it was pretty sloppy from the get-go for us, and we had Antonio Brown. We had Martavis Bryant. We had Marcus Wheaton. So what's going to change this time around if we have to put in a rookie running back? Because I think we're going to be in pretty much the same situation if Williams is not 100%. But then again, we would take him at 75% versus last year having to go get somebody off the street that wasn't even in the system. And you see what happened there, right?
You know, to answer your question, Vito, I think the difference is the players that you named have all matured. They have another year in the system, and I think they've had enough success this year that they're better players and more confident. I think, to your point, they're going to have to coach Martavis Bryant really hard because Martavis, since the Bronco game, has not played quality football. And I don't know if him and Ben have been on the same page, and they've been off page, in fact, in several situations, especially in the Browns game, which resulted in an interception. So, but overall, you know, they're better. They're better players. Wheaton is much better. You know, last year's Wheaton doesn't go on the road in Seattle and put up 200 yards receiving. And we all know what Martavis can do when Martavis is rolling. And believe it or not, Antonio Brown is even better than he was last year. So all of those players have increased their games, and they're better football players.
Yeah, I was going to piggyback on that and say the exact same thing. I mean, even Brian, despite his basically, I don't know, he just seems like he's been off the past few weeks. Despite that, his shortcomings recently, I mean, he's still a better receiver. He's more polished. He's not just a go-deep guy. And like Lance said, Marcus Wheaton is markedly better. And Ben Roethlisberger trusts Marcus Wheaton more. Don't forget that Heath Miller is still in the mix. And don't forget also that it's amazing, but Antonio Brown is better. It's hard to believe he got better from what he was last year in 2014. But in 2015, he is better. Now, I will also say this. For some reason, and Lance, you might be able to answer this question as well or chime in on this. The Ravens give the Steelers different fits than the Bengals do, and defensively. And I knew that without Le'Veon Bell, and they relied on Le'Veon Bell a lot in 2014 in terms of getting him the ball in the checkdowns. He was the safety valve. He was their every down back. Now, they do similar stuff with D'Angelo Williams. Similar, not the same. And because of that, they don't have that reliance on him that if he's not in the lineup, they couldn't somehow get his production, hopefully, with someone else. So I look at that and say, A, it's the Ravens are not – the Ravens have always given the Steelers fits. And I think that this Bengals defense, although good, there's a reason Heath Miller's had 10 receptions at both times they played them this year. Lance, do you agree with that?
You know, the Ravens are very multiple with their defense, a lot of different fronts and a lot of different coverages. And I still think, you know, they have some really good players up front in their front seven that give the Steelers some issues. And until the Steelers address some of that, I think they're going to continue to have some issues, you know, with the Ravens. But, you know, I think right now, you know, in terms of Le'Veon Bell, I think for Ben, he missed Le'Veon Bell's ability to run intermediate routes, slants, curls, comebacks, outs, digs. I think he missed that. He missed that other intermediate guy to go along with Antonio Brown because Wheaton and Bryant are more vertical threats. And so I think that is some of the struggle that you saw with Ben, particularly with the Ravens.
Anything else, Vito, or what's on your mind? Anything else to let you go?
The other thing I've been seeing this week that a lot of the commentators have been talking about is how bad Pittsburgh's secondary is and how easy it is to run on them, how easy it is, you know, to throw it all over the field. And they're saying the biggest weakness that we have is that our secondary can't cover, and they feel that gives the Bengals the edge. My only thing is I don't know how good McCarron's going to do on the field because he's a rookie, and this is a big game. I mean, will McCarron be able to lead that team to victory? You know, will Ben be the leader and step up and take the team on his shoulder and do what he needs to do to get them to victory? I mean, I don't know if the young guy could do, but, yeah, we do have a problem in our secondary, and I'm wondering why we don't use Boykin more than Blake if Blake is not doing such a good job. Get Blake out of there. Leave Boykin in there more. I think Boykin gives us a better option than Blake, because at least with Boykin, Gay, and Cockrell, I don't think they'd be passing as much on the field as when Blake is on there. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you know, it's always been as the Boykin terms this year, and I think he eventually played some really good football in the slot for the Steelers. But, you know, the question is, you know, I think Blake's snaps will be limited in this game because, you know, from my vantage point, I think you're going to see Cincinnati play a lot of three wide receiver set, which means Steelers will be in a nickel defense, and that way you'll see a lot more Cockrell. So I think the way the Bengals will attack it, you won't see Blake as much, so it won't be that much of a problem. But when we break the game down, keep listening, Vito. I'm going to talk to the point about McCarron and pressure and what I think the Steelers need to do to get after him in this ballgame.
Yep. If they can do what they did to Cleveland, we have a good game.
Right, it's a different offensive line, but I'll say this, Vito, is that everyone needs to remember with Blake, and Boykin. That's not the discussion anymore. Boykin has solidified himself as the nickel cornerback for the Steelers. He is in the past, I want to say four weeks, if you look at the snap totals, has played the second most snaps, only to William Gay in terms of defensive backs. Now, the discussion to me is, why isn't Ross Cockrell starting over Antoine Blake? He gets less snaps. He played the majority of the second half against Cleveland. He seems to be better equipped to play in pass situations. He might not be the best tackler, but that's my question. And Lance, you can chime in on this if you want to. But I don't understand why Cockrell's not seeing more snaps than Blake, because Boykin is their slot guy. That's who he is now. That's where they're going to play him. They're not going to move him to the outside. That's the question for me. That's if I had Mike Tomlin in a room one-on-one and I'm like, look, I want to know why this isn't happening. That's the question I would probably ask.
And that's been the question for weeks. Steeler fan, I think, kind of confused it where they thought it was a question of Boykin versus Blake, but it was always the question of Blake versus Cockrell, because Boykin was always going to be used as the slot corner. I mean, that's what he was in Philadelphia, and that's what they brought him here to be, is a slot corner. And you're right. But I think what it is that I don't know if there's enough difference between the two from the staff's perspective to where they could probably flip a coin and start either guy. Because, you know, when I sent you those information, you know, there's some information on PFF. I shared that information with you, Jeff. Surprisingly, Boykin and Cockrell pretty much look pretty much the same as they graded out. So I don't know if there'll ever be a sufficient answer for Steeler Nation when it comes to Blake. I mean, it'd be like similar to, you know, are there UFOs in Area 51? I mean, it would be debated forever why Blake gets so many snaps. I mean, does he have film or pictures on one of the coaches or something? Who knows? But at this point, they have to play solid regardless of who's out there if they want to get this win on Saturday.
Absolutely. Now, all right, we're getting back up a little bit, Vito. Thanks for calling, brother. We'll talk to you Saturday night, I'm sure. Hopefully it's after a victory.
Good luck. Enjoy the game, guys, and hopefully Pittsburgh pulls it off.
I hope so. I really do. All right, let's get to our next caller here. Excuse me, Caleb from Massachusetts wants to talk to Angela Williams. Go ahead, Caleb. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
How you doing, Caleb?
Doing good.
I'm doing well. So, yeah, I wanted to just touch up on the D'Angelo injury, and I was wondering what you guys thought, assuming that he doesn't play, or if he does play and he's not 100%, how that's going to shift the offense's game plan on Saturday, because it's going to force, I would imagine it's going to force us to go one-dimensional with the pass game, but what's your guys' thoughts on that?
I would agree with you. I think if D'Angelo Williams doesn't play, or if he's, say, 75%, you know, 70%, somewhere around there, I think it's a Ben Roethlisberger game. I think we see a 50-15 game, 50 pass attempts, 15 rushing attempts. I think it's one of those games. And I think if it reverts to that, Ben Roethlisberger's going to have to play his cleanest football game of the year for the Steelers to get the win.
Yeah, that's the biggest question. I mean, I think that anyone in their right mind, even if D'Angelo Williams does play, if he's not 100%, you can't expect him to carry the ball even 25 times. You want to run the football to keep him honest, and we're going to talk about this at length a little bit later when we talk about our keys to victory. But is this a game that's going to be on Roethlisberger's shoulders? Everyone talks about him being elite. Everyone talks about him being one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. If that's the case, then you go into a hostile environment in Cincinnati, a division rival, and you swing the ball around as many times as necessary and you win the football game. So Ben's going to have to keep the interceptions down, and that's the scary proposition right now for this team because he has been actually prone to turning the ball over. But D'Angelo Williams, whether he plays or not, I don't know if he'll be the impact player that people might think, especially if he's playing and he's not obviously 100%. But answer your question, Caleb.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys very much. And one more thing, I just want to give a shout-out to Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills for getting us that playoff spot. He came in pretty clutch for Steeler Nation there.
Absolutely. I think we all echo that sentiment. Yeah, that's good. Hey, Caleb, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
All right, let's get our another caller on the air. I'm telling you, the phone lines are still open, folks. If you want to call in, you can. The phone number is 347-850-8581. Again, that's 347-850-8581. Oh, looking at the computer's working here. I think we're going to get Melvin from Dallas. Melvin, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Jeff and Lance? How you guys doing?
Hey, Melvin.
Good.
By the way,
good.
That was an epic call on Sunday when you were talking about it's going to be a Uber night. Oh, that was epic. That was epic. And you gave Vito a shout-out before Vito called. Oh, that was epic. And I hope it was the Uber drive was worth it. I hope it was worth it because that call was awesome.
Yeah, man, $15, you can't beat it, dude. But when I was listening to you talk, both of you talk earlier, one thing that I'm hoping that our defense does, I know when we played Cincinnati the second time, the first time we saw A.J. McCarron, I know sometimes defenses, when you game plan for a quarterback and you know that quarterback's tendency is like an Andy Dalton, then all of a sudden he goes down. Now you have your game plan on the defense has to change a little bit. And I hope that now there's enough game tape on A.J. McCarron to see what he does well, what he doesn't do well, that we can curtail and shape our defensive game plan to force him to what his weaknesses are. Now, mind you, he looked pretty good in a hostile environment versus arguably the best defense in the league in Denver, and Denver was playing for something because, you know, they wanted that number one seed, which they got. So I'm hoping that there's enough tape on him that our defense can curtail it and learn something. As far as Blake is concerned, sooner or later that horse will be buried because I'm tired of beating it to death. I think it's dead, but we still haven't buried it yet. On the offense, and I had tweeted to Steel Curtain. I'm concerned. My concern was with the backup running back would be blitz protection, because typically that is one of the most difficult things to do is to be able to pick up the blitz. Now, unlike Ben Tate last year, signed him off the street. He hadn't been in our building. These two guys have been in our building. You know, they've been in our building since pretty much all year from what I've heard. I can only hope that, you know, you got a fresh kid coming there, you know, wants to make a good name with a legendary team. They're young. They got to be looking at D'Angelo saying, you know what, he's getting a little bit long in the tooth. He's only got one more year left in the contract. If I can make a good impression, if I can play well, I can sign, and then that could be me backing up Le'Veon Bell should something go awry. You know, Ben has to be Ben. How Ben goes, so our team goes. I mean, I believe his shoulders are broad enough to do that. I don't know if we had talked once before. It just seems like when Ben is down and Ben is not doing what Ben needs to do, our defense picks up. I can remember that back from even when Polamalu and those guys were there, and we went in like 10-9. And then all of a sudden, Ben starts playing ball, and then our defense starts slacking off as if they say, phew, okay, our savior's here. We don't have to play as hard. I just really hope that we can get the Pittsburgh Steelers of the second half of Denver, both offensively and defensively. If, and that's a very big if we can do that on both sides of the ball, I really don't see anybody beating us because, you know, I know we got to go to Denver, you know, big deal. But if we can just do that, we can do that to Cincinnati. Hey, Cincinnati still has some demons to exercise. You know, when they won a playoff game, I graduated from high school. You know, so, I mean, you know, at 1990. So, I mean, we're just going to have to hold it together. And the last thing I'm going to say, before I listen to you guys talk, somebody's got to give, and I spoke on it Saturday, somebody got to give my coach some credit. I said 10-6 at the beginning of the year, that's what we were going to be. Now, as y'all alluded to earlier, you lose your field goal kicker in the Hall of Fame game. You lose a Hall of Fame center. You don't have Le'Veon Bell for the first two games. You don't have Martavis Bryant for the first four games. I'm with you, Chris. You tell me I'll give you 10-6 right now. I'm taking that in a hurry. Everybody just hates the way we lost. We have a field goal kicker. We beat the Ravens at least once. Probably beat the Patriots. Those two games alone. And we win the division, you know, with those two games alone. But I'm going to sit back and let you guys banter, man, and see what y'all think about that.
I think you're right when you're talking about young backs. I mean, the issue with young backs and the backs can get on the field, and astute football fans know it's about blitz pickup and pass protection. If you can't pass protect, you're not going to see the field. And if it's a game where D'Angelo may not play or is going to be severely impacted by the injury, you know, Fitzgerald, Toussaint L'Ouverture, and Todman, their primary roles are going to be when they do carry the rock, don't fumble, and pass protect, period. That's going to be it. They're not going to be burdened. As far as Tomlin, I mean, he's a whale of a coach. The NFL is a results business. Just look at his record, at his resume. And fans that are listening to the show that dislike Tomlin, look at Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher's been coaching, I believe, for 20 years. He only has 6 winning seasons. 1 Super Bowl appearance, no Super Bowl wins, and maybe a division title here or there. I might be giving him a little too much credit with division titles because Peyton Manning and the Colts beat them every year for the division. So Tomlin's a good coach. It's going to be very tough on them if D'Angelo doesn't play. I mean, it's going to be a very tough game in that regard. And Ben is going to have to come out hot in this game. And if they do, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Cincinnati Bengals and a young quarterback in A.J. McCarron. But I believe McCarron, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, I think McCarron has played maybe 4 to 5 games. So there's enough tape on his game for them to adequately game plan for Saturday's game. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, and I mean, when you talk about McCarron, and I see what Melvin's saying in terms of, you know, you want that – you have that kid that – I don't know, there's a bunch of movie references I could say, but you have that kid that just doesn't care, you know, you go and you don't have a lot of tape on him, you don't know what to expect. I think they have enough now. I mean, you don't count the Steelers game in Week 14. He's starting every game since then. So, I mean, you think about it, Week 15, 16, 17, and then the first round of the playoffs, this will be his 4th start, I believe, maybe his 5th, if they, you know, considering he played every snap at 2 against the Steelers, I think. I think that what you're going to see is you're going to see McCarron's tendencies, because the one thing that he lacks is that moxie, that experience to be able to kind of disguise some of these tendencies where he likes to look on the field in certain situations. So he is not a quarterback. And after the Steelers game, which is he had the most yards of his time starting or playing since against Pittsburgh. I think he threw for 280 yards. He threw 2 touchdowns against the Steelers, but he also threw 2 interceptions. And those are the only interceptions that he has thrown the entire season. And I think that's why, if you look at his statistics, he has only hit the 200 mark 1 time. It was 200 yards on the nose in the rest of his games. Everything else has been under 200 yards. They are basically giving him the Michael Vick treatment in terms of the offensive game plan. Don't turn it over. If you don't make the mistake, they feel like they can run the football well enough with Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, and they trust their defense to be able to keep the opposing offense off the board enough to win. And so I look at this, and I think that with McCarron, you might get a guy like William Gay is very savvy. Okay, he's been around the block. He knows that, okay, on 3rd and long, McCarron loves the out route, or he loves to have that comeback route to Eifert, or he likes to hit the seam. And when you have that knowledge, it is going to pay dividends. And so I think that the Steelers are going to be able to play well against McCarron. I don't see McCarron being the one that beats him. I think that maybe their running game could, but not McCarron. So ultimately, some people say they wanted Dalton. Coming off of a hand injury, then, yeah, I see that why you would maybe want Dalton to play, but ultimately I'll take the kid with the less experience than I would the experienced quarterback, even if he has floundered in the postseason his entire career. It just kind of reminds me of, okay, would you rather play Carson Palmer or John Kitna in 2005? Yeah, we'll take Kitna. You know, I mean, he's just not as good. He's not going to win the game, so to speak. You just have the other team, hopefully, just don't lose the game. So that's kind of what I think about that. Ultimately, I think the Steelers just got to play their game. And so let's talk about this upcoming game in a little bit more detail, Lance. Let's talk about some keys to victory. You always do the defensive side. I always do the offensive side. I'll give you the choice to go first or second. You can either defer to the second half or take the football. What do you want?
I'm going to defer.
You're going to defer. Okay. I can basically give you the same summation I've given the last 2 weeks in terms of the offense and game plan coming into this game, but it's a little bit different with D'Angelo Williams possibly being out or hindered by that ankle injury. I think that with the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, number one, utmost importance is protect the football. You cannot turn the ball over. I don't care if it's a deep shot, another Reggie Nelson interception. You have to protect the football. And I'm talking about no interceptions. I don't want to see Roethlisberger's interception number move from zero. And I think that's the number one goal for the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into this game. Secondly, they have to try, and it might be like ramming your head into a brick wall, but they have to try to keep some semblance of balance. If they have Roethlisberger throw it 50 times, it's not that they can't win that way, it's that it's not likely that they win that way. History shows that. So they need to try to be creative in the run game, and that's using draws, and that's also using the short passing game as an extension of the run game. The bubble screens to the wide receivers, the screen game when you know that they're going to be blitzing, they need to be creative. And that's Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger together on making the correct calls, knowing the protections, and basically making the Cincinnati Bengals think that you might run the football. And that's even if it's Toussaint and Todman back there. They have to try. You can't abandon it, period. Can't do it. All right, and the third, and this is where I'm going to end, is they've got to see, I think Roethlisberger has to spread the wealth. I think when you look at the last few, well, heck, probably the whole season, if you look back on it, Roethlisberger trusts Antonio Brown. Rightfully so. Antonio Brown's the best wide receiver in the National Football League. But defenses are starting to key on that. And they're starting to see Roethlisberger's tendencies, and that when things break down, he looks at 84 no matter what. He needs to get Heath Miller involved early. He needs to get Marcus Wheaton, and especially Martavis Bryant, who has turned into a head case. He needs to get his confidence up. I wouldn't be surprised if you see them go to Bryant early in the game, hoping, fingers crossed, that he makes a couple of good catches, and that'll hopefully turn the tide on his attitude, his confidence for the rest of the game. So, again, I'll give you those three keys again. Number one, don't turn the football over. Number two, you have to try to get some semblance of balance by running the football. And the third is you have to spread the love. You can't focus on just number 84. He'll get his touches. You just can't have him being targeted 17 times and everyone else not even sniffing 10. Lance, would you add anything before you go on to the defensive side?
I'm going to play Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator. And you give me answer as to how you think the Steelers will attack this. If I'm Cincinnati, yep, given D'Angelo Williams' situation, I'm playing nickel all day. I'm going to play nickel. I'm going to double Antonio. I'm going to single cover Martavis, probably shade to him, and I'm going to single cover Wheaton. How do you attack me?
Personally, I think that if I'm Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm waiting for them to do just that, and I'm waiting for them to drop two safeties deep to take away the deep ball, I will nickel and dime you to death by throwing to Heath Miller and Marcus Wheaton underneath. And the thing is that even if you double Antonio Brown, he's still going to get open. And so I think that if they're smart about this, and when I say they, I really mean Roethlisberger, because you can see sometimes he gets a little arrogant and he wants to take the shot down the field. Don't force anything that's not there. Sometimes if you have to take a sack, if you have to throw the football away, or if you have to check it down to Heath Miller and take a 5-yard gain, and that's what you do. I think that Heath Miller is the X factor on offense in this game. He's had, like I said earlier in the show, 10 receptions in both of these games so far in 2015 against the Cincinnati Bengals. I expect that to continue. That's the matchup issue for the Bengals. If they want to run nickel, yeah, they could single cover Wheaton. They could shade Martavis Bryant and have man coverage on him. It's Heath Miller that they are going to struggle to cover because I don't think they have linebackers that are savvy enough. And if you have to drop a safety down to help cover Heath Miller, it's only going to open up someone else. That's how I would attack it. What would you do?
That's a big if, Jeff. Are they patient enough for the slow death with the 1,000 cuts? Or, you know, they want to get after it. You know, they're always chopping at the bit to get downfield. So it'll be interesting enough to see if they could stay patient, because if you could do that, Chodman, Toussaint L'Ouverture, or Fitzgerald Toussaint, they can hit it for like 3 and get a first down. But here's the thing. For as many points as the Steelers have scored this year, they are not a very good third down conversion team. And the Heath Miller slow matriculation being patient route, I don't know if that's a strength of theirs given their struggles over the last few weeks on third down, but that might be the way to go as opposed to the sling it 50 times, 55 times, really try to be aggressive, getting it up the field and throwing interceptions because he's been turnover prone, Ben Roethlisberger, for the last 4 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about it. But I wanted to pose that question to you and sort of play devil's advocate with how they may approach it from an offensive standpoint.
Well, you know, Lance, here's the thing. I look at it, and I hear what you're saying, because you saw, go back to the last time they played Cincinnati in Week 14. They almost did exactly what I said to a T, and it wasn't until Roethlisberger's dumb interception when he's trying to force it to Will Johnson, and then when he got too aggressive and tried to basically throw it in a bucket to Martavis Bryant and got picked off by Reggie Nelson. If it weren't for those two plays, they would have done exactly what I said to an absolute T. They didn't push the ball down the field. They took what was given to them, and they moved the ball very, very well. I mean, they had their you play a defense like Cincinnati, you're going to have 3-and-outs. You're going to have failed drives. You're not going to score every time you touch the football. I just done that's – you said that, like you said, that's the biggest if on this team right now is do they – and when I say they, I'm talking about Haley making the play calls and Roethlisberger deciding where to go with the football, the patience to say, you know what, we can make these long drives. We don't have to score quickly. We can if we want to, but we don't have to. And so we're going to take our time. We're going to muddle huddle. We're going to run the silent count. We're going to read the defense, and we're just going to pick them apart. I really would love to see the Steelers come out in a no huddle when they find a formation or a sub package that they favor. That's something that I don't think the Steelers have done enough with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. They're capable of it. They proved that in 2013. I think that if they did that, they would be able to get some really favorable matchups, especially when you talk about if they catch him in nickel. Maybe they get the running game going, or they might find that Wheaton's tearing them apart, and then I think that could definitely be advantageous. So I would, if I were the offensive coordinator, if I'm Todd Haley, I'm brushing off the no huddle for this week because I think that we might go to that and try to better our chances of getting the matchups that we're looking for.
I didn't think of that, but I think that's a fantastic point, brushing off the no huddle, especially if you can catch them in a defense that you like, in a personnel grouping that you like, and really attack them and go after them. Let me jump into my defensive keys. I only have 2 keys for this game. I think this is I think from a thematic standpoint, the theme of this game is absolutely you've got to put the game in A.J. McCarron's hands. You cannot let the running game beat you in this game. Because when you look at A.J. McCarron, they're going to limit what they want him to do. Run the football, play action pass, dink and dunk, slowly matriculate it downfield. Don't take too many chances. Don't turn the ball over. If you don't turn it over, they feel like they can win, what you said earlier in the program. So I'm just going to throw these numbers out because we know what A.J. Green is. He's 26 targets, 17 receptions, 250 yards, 65.4% target percentage. Believe he had two touchdowns. And we know Eifert, if he's healthy, and I believe he's healthy going into this game, is a matchup nightmare for the Steelers as well. We know about those guys. You can't just let those guys wreck you. But the two biggest things is you have to stop the run, and you got to get pressure on McCarron. When you look at what Jeremy Hill and Bernard did in the game, Jeremy Hill had 22 carries for 76 yards. In the first game, ran it 15 times for 60. Second game, ran it 7 times for 16. Giovanni Bernard, 1 attempt in the first game for 12 yards. Second game, 6 rushing attempts for 40 yards for 6.7. GL ran it 7 times, 52 yards, 7.4. They ran it 29 times for 128 yards for 4.4 carry. That's the number that you have to stop. If they run it 29 times for 128 yards, we'll round it up to 4.5 yards carry on Saturday, Steelers don't win that game. Because that's the type of game where A.J. McCarron's pass attempts aren't above 35. The Steelers need those pass attempts up above 35 where they're going to get more opportunities to turn him over. And if he's thrown it more than 35 times, that means, in my thoughts, they're chasing the lead. And the Steelers are getting after them. Game that he played against the Pittsburgh Steelers, when he was under pressure, he only completed 5 of 10 passes for 34 yards. When he was not under pressure, he completed 77.3% of his passes and had an 11.2 yards per attempt against the Steelers and a rating of 124.4. For the rest of the season, when he was not pressured, his passer rating of 117.1 was better than Andy Dalton's 110.3. That means that the Steelers' front seven is going to have to be hot. Because the only linebacker that played worth his grain of salt or played well from a pressure perspective was James Harrison, who had 2 hits and 2 hurries in the Week 14 game. So we're going to have to see James Harrison play well, those outside linebackers play well. But when it comes to getting pressure, and the Steelers had 48 sacks this year, which I think was 3rd in the National Football League, it all comes down to it and Cameron Hayward. They have to play hot. And I would love to see more McClendon in this game as well in that defensive line rotation. They've got to play hot. They've got to get pressure on McCarron because he will make mistakes. And they have to get pressure by not blitzing because he'll eat you up with the blitz, play very well against the blitz. So they're going to have to get pressure on McCarron, and they're going to have to stop the run. But particularly, they're going to have to stop the run. Cincinnati does not want to put this game in A.J. McCarron's hands, and they're going to have to smash that run and really choke it off to make it into an A.J. McCarron game. And if it gets that way, they're going to have to be able to pressure him and force him to make some tight throws. And to Melvin's point, because Melvin's been talking about the secondary this entire season, and I also want to give a big shout-out to Sharp Dagger on Twitter. Moving forward, I really would love to see the Steelers really look at some corners that can play both man and zone. Because this is the type of game where you'd like to be aggressive in some man coverage principles to really force A.J. McCarron to fit it into some tight windows. But maybe they mix a little bit of that in. I don't think you'll see much of that. The Steelers are a cover three team, cover two team. They may disguise some things. You might see some X-fire blitzes that we saw last week against Cleveland. We saw Butler bring that out of his bag. But, again, choke off the run, and the Steelers can have fun and get it done.
Oh, wow. What an ending. I mean, let's just stop the show right there. I mean, after that, you serious? I mean, come on now. That's insane. I mean, that was a great run there. But let me just say – I think that they should blitz the hell out of this kid. And you stop the run first, I get that. Blitz the hell out of him, because let's be honest, if you're going to let somebody sit back there and just throw the football, you're doing no one any good, because the Steelers can't cover. So Sue, if you're going to go for it, go with gusto. Die, live and die by the sword. It's like watching Duke University play basketball. You live and die by the three-point shot. If you're on, you're winning every game. And if you're off, you might lose. But you know what? You're gonna. That's your identity. The Steelers' defense, this is a question for you, Lance. What is their identity? We know the offense's identity. It's Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. They like to push the ball down the field. That's their identity. What is the Pittsburgh Steelers' defensive identity?
It's been not breaking good turnovers. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, neither one of us said, but I think you would agree with me, that this is about turnovers. If they don't get any turnovers on defense, they're not going to win the game. So this is a defense that Ben's not break defense. That needs to get turnovers. That's what they are. They're a soft defense. But, I mean, they've got to turn them over. If they don't turn them over, it's going to be very tough for them to win.
And they typically do get those turnovers against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's normally good for a fumble. And then McCarron threw two interceptions the last time they played the Steelers, one of which was a pick six to William Gay. I definitely see turnovers being the key in this game. And like you said, the offense can definitely have a hand in the defensive approach. You go out, you score quick touchdowns, mind you. Touchdowns, not field goals. And now all of a sudden, they have to throw the ball to get back in the game. And when you have to throw the ball with A.J. McCarron, that's a recipe for success and a recipe for victory. So keep that in mind. I like that analogy. Before we get to predictions, we have another caller. Let's get this call. And we have Ken from New Jersey. Go ahead, Ken. You're on with Jeff and Lance.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing? How you doing,
pretty good,
Ken?
Pretty good.
Doing great. Doing great driving home. So I heard you talking a little bit about it, Lance, as far as a couple guys on the defense, the Hayward and Tuitt, who need to be hot. It's been my observation the last couple weeks. I think the offense has been feeding off of the defense. You know, like when we played Denver, you know, the defense was lackluster, just like on their heels, and versus when they came out and then the offense started to turn it on. And if the defense is not really playing that well, the offense, I don't know, it's been an interesting dynamic. So my question is, if I know that those two really need to have good games, but if you had to say, like, one guy on the defense who needs to have a great game in order for the Steelers to secure a victory, who's that one person who really needs to, like, just be on all the time?
I'd say Shazier, particularly in pass coverage against Tyler Eifert. You know, tight ends typically are, you know, nice safety blankets for quarterbacks, particularly for a rookie quarterback, you know, who needs to not push it downfield into some coverage, but maybe get into a favorable one-on-one with a Tyler Eifert, big target, somebody that can give him an easy throw. I think it's Shazier, particularly in pass coverage. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, I hear you, man. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I definitely think that Shazier is one of them. I have to say Cam Hayward. I think that Cam Hayward is a guy that can take over a game, and that's from a run-stopping standpoint. That's from getting after the quarterback. And let's be honest, he's been kind of quiet in the last few weeks, even against the Cleveland Browns, who it seemed like everybody was getting to the quarterback. He didn't. He only had one tackle. I want to see Cam Hayward. Maybe he's tired. He's been playing. He and Tua have been playing almost every single defensive snap for a long time. And it almost the entire season, to be honest with you. There's no depth on the defensive line, but that's who I would probably say. I'd probably say Cam Hayward because he can. Hey, what is his nickname? Wreck-It, right? We call him Wreck-It because he can wreck an entire game. So I definitely want to see if he's able to do that. Lance, do you agree with that, or you sticking with Shazier?
I think it's a given. Tua and Hayward have to play well, but that secondary guy, who's the secondary guy on the defense you think has to play well?
I would probably say, because I do agree with Shazier, but I would probably say, and this is a kind of a cop-out, I would almost say, pick your poison from an outside linebacker. Please somebody get home on a blitz or on an outside edge rush. I mean, it's become so mundane and so blasé, and it's so rare to see from a Steelers defense to see the outside linebackers just getting stonewalled every time they rush. Maybe Bud Dupree can get around the corner and cause some havoc in the backfield. If it's only one play, if it's a strip sack, then it's worth every minute of it. But I'd love to see the outside linebackers because, in my mind, if people want to talk about the secondary. When does the secondary play well? When the quarterback doesn't have time. I do think those two go hand in hand. And I think that the outside linebackers, that's Jarvis Jones, James Harrison, Bud Dupree, Arthur Motes, you name it, they all need to step up. They need to step up their game. So if I weren't going to say Hayward, I would say that one of those outside linebackers has got to do the job. Done. All right, Ken. Well, hey, we appreciate the phone call, buddy. Be safe driving home and enjoy the game on Saturday.
All right, thanks, guys. And I just want to throw in there, Mike Mitchell needs to be the enforcer in that 10 yards to 20 yards down the field, in the middle of the field. So I'm taking Mike Mitchell.
So great point there. Great point.
Good pick. You know, I was going to say Mike Mitchell, but I feel he's played well enough this year that he's pretty much you know what to expect from him. He's not the one that's typically making mistakes. I can't believe that we're saying this because at the end of 2014, people were ready to write this guy off, and he's played an extremely good 2015-2016 season, and he's been very solid for the Steelers. So, you know, that's a very good point. Now, we have another caller here. Going a little bit long. That's okay. Playoff plans. We got to get to him. Bryce from Brooklyn. What's up, Bryce?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
BK.
Not much.
How you guys doing tonight? Everyone doing good?
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
All right. Cool. So, I mean, for me, I just want to make a comment tonight about what we need to do from a coaching standpoint. I'm sure you guys have already gone over it. And I know it came up kind of on Monday. You know, when I look back at last year's playoff game, you know, I really felt, aside from getting beat up on the offensive line, I really felt, you know, we got out-coached. And, you know, Jeff, you know, I don't call in rail against Todd Haley. You know, I don't do those type of things. But some things, you know, become fairly obvious. And I think one of the keys coming up is, you know, are we going to just continue to be stubborn, Butler and Tomlin, and just continue to roll Blake out there? You know, Pro Football Focus has this guy rated as the worst corner in the league. Consequently, William Gay is one of the best who hasn't given up a touchdown. So if we get Cockrell in there, who's shown that he can stay with receivers longer, he will come up and support the run, along with Boykin in the slot. You know, crazy as it sounds, I think we might actually be able to cover for a split second longer that may give a chance to our mediocre rush to actually get at the quarterback consistently, seeing that we're blitzing more. But I feel if we're just going to keep rolling Blake out there, it's just to a point where it's just a bad coaching decision, just ego coaching, where we're just going to be stubborn. And it's going to really hurt us if we continue to do that. What do you guys think?
I want you to stop it. Stop it. Stop it. They are rolling Blake out there. You know it. Stop it.
Yes.
Just stop.
Yeah,
you know what's going to happen.
It's a shame, but I agree with you, Lance. And Blake is going to be out there. And I have a feeling that if it happens this week, I think I've pinpointed what they're doing. And I think that if you see Blake primarily in the first half and Cockrell primarily in the second half, depending on how the game goes, they want Cockrell on the field for passing situations. They feel he's a better cover guy. They like Blake better in run support, even though he has been a horrible tackler. And so I think ultimately you're going to see Cockrell, especially if the Steelers have a lead, I think you'll see him in the second half. They did it against Cleveland. I want to see if they do it again. It might be a trend. It might be what Tomlin's thinking in the rotation. And that could be the answer to some of these questions that we have. Bryce, I hate to cut you off there, buddy, but you were having some nasty feedback on my end. I don't know if Lance heard it, but if you want to try calling back, you can. We'll get you on the air here. Lance, I wanted to do a new feature for us, and I know we don't have a lot of time left, but our great followers on Behind the Steel Curtain's Twitter feed that actually just helped us get to 13,400 tonight. So thank you to everyone that's following us out there. The Twitter handle is @BTSteelCurtain, stands for Behind the Steel Curtain. I basically posed the question to our followers, like, hey, are there any topics you want us to cover tonight? We're going to do these rapid fire, right, Lance? It's going to be more you answering and me asking. You cool with that?
Hey, let's go. Let's roll.
All right. Some of these are pretty funny, so make sure you're ready. All right. Steelers Yak says, He wants to know, just give him one factor that the Steelers' defense will do to be able to attack the Bengals' offense. What is that?
One factor that the Steelers' defense needs to do to attack
the Bengals' offense.
Cat blitzes. You might see some corner blitzes.
Very good. All right, next one from Sam Hartford. What do we need to do, the Steelers, that is, to address our glaring need for secondary players? What do they need to do? Are they looking free agency or draft?
Pray the rosary.
All right, next one. Vic Mackey. Why do people think that Marquise Pouncey is the be-all, end-all? The replacements have done well for him at a lower price. He's kind of suggesting maybe they cut him. What do you think about that?
Cody Wallace is an able backup and replacement for Pouncey. You need to wake up from that dream that you're trapped in.
I agree 100%. This is an all-pro we're talking about. Anyways, Cody Nesper writes, when should the team find an adequate backup slash successor for Ben Roethlisberger, or is Landry Jones good enough to be the future? I think we know the answer to the second half of the question. What's the first part? When should the Steelers start to look for the next quarterback?
2017 draft. I think they should draft one then. I was talking about that with my dad, but I'm going to go 2017 draft.
Very good. Dave writes, he's irritated by all the fans that bailed on the team after the Vic signing, yet are getting to enjoy this playoff run. You share his beef with all these fans and said we're done with the team and now that are all on board with the playoff run?
Not at all. Fans are fans. We're fanatics. That's what it is. Hey, we could be fair weather. We could be diehard. We're just fans, and that's just part of it. It's week to week, just like the league.
All right, very good. And Joseph writes, can the defense get off the field finally on third down? They struggled with it the last 2 weeks against mediocre offenses. Do you see them doing a better job of that, or is it going to be more of the same on Saturday?
Be throwing beverages at your TV when they give up 3 or 4 third and 12s.
All right, very good. Now, here we have one more from Ron. It's tough to displace Steeler veterans. Would it be interesting to see what do you think the year would have looked like if Senquez Golson would have been available to the team for the entire season?
I don't know. I don't even know if the guy could play. I have no idea.
Come on, man. I'll tell you one thing about that. Go ahead.
He'd be better than Blake.
Well, here's the thing. He would have been an option. He's a guy that can play inside and outside. I think if they had Golson, they would have never have signed. They would have never made the trade for Brandon Boykin. They would have saved that draft pick. They might have still signed Cockrell, but I don't think they picked Boykin. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
All right. And that's all right. I thought that was a pretty good segment, a little rapid fire there. There's nothing wrong with a little rapid fire, you know what I mean? Let's go to our predictions. We're at the end of the show. We're trying to figure out who's going to win the game. The Steelers win. They're going to Denver in the divisional round to play Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, the no-fly zone, although I think the Steelers debunked that a few weeks ago. Lance, what's your prediction for the game on Saturday night?
Well, you know, the happiness had to end at some point. Unless D'Angelo Williams has a miraculous comeback, unless his ankles are feeling better than they ever have, the Steelers are going to lose this game, unfortunately, in Cincinnati.
Oh, my gosh.
I am picking the Bengals 27, the Steelers 20. I just don't like the way Ben Roethlisberger is playing ball right now, particularly with him turning the ball over, him starting to fall into some habits of forcing the ball into Antonio Brown. I don't like the fact that Antonio Brown is around 15 targets a game for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Martavis Bryant is in a funk in terms of his game. The way they've played the last 2 weeks, I really don't like the quality of football that the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing. And I think, unfortunately, for Steeler fan and Steeler nation, that the loss of D'Angelo Williams potentially, or his injury, or however much it impacts him in the game, is going to be greater for the Steelers than the loss of Andy Dalton. So, unfortunately, I'm picking the Bungles to beat the Steelers 27-20 in a hotly contested ball game. One in which turn because of Ben Roethlisberger interceptions.
Honestly, every time, sometimes when you talk, I feel like there should just be a sad trombone all the time. Mwah, mwah, mwah. I mean, seriously, come on, man. Are you serious? And you know what? I'm gonna let the dog out of the cage. Chris Carter has been patiently waiting, and when he heard that, I know he's fired up. CC, he is yours. Go at it. Go.
What are you thinking, Lane? It's the Bengals. They're in the playoffs. It's prime time. This is the ultimate moment for them to joke, for them to be reminded that, listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers own you. Like, your boardwalk, we landed on you, and we purchased you with $400. This is so bad. Why do you pick them? Why do you pick against them? I understand sometimes you're right, but it's just, come on, you're a Steelers fan. You went to CMU. You're smart, therefore. Come on, Lance. You got to be able to pick us here. What are you really scared of A.J. McCarron? I understand Brian Mallett beat us, and that was a bad thing. But A.J. McCarron, we've seen him before. He don't got nothing else to hide.
Did you see that first half against Brock Osweiler?
Yeah. And you see the second half against Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's two halves.
But this is what I'm saying. Hear me out. I think the Broncos have a better defense than the Bengals do. And I think that the way that they can bring heat, and the way that their secondary can fly all over the place, that the Steelers have shown that when they're on, they can take on the top secondaries and the top defenses in the league. Now, the question is, will Ben be on? Will he pull out of his slump? And that was something that we talked about on our Sunday show, was usually after Ben Roethlisberger has his bad stints or whatever, when he jumps back out of them, he plays very well. He's strong, and the team can rely on him. So what I'm thinking here, and what Jeff and I were talking about on Sunday, when you couldn't pass on your negativity, Lance, was that that Ben was going to have his resurging game, that he was not going to throw. I think he still will throw a pick, but I think he's going to throw 3 to 4 touchdowns. The offense is going to be rolling. They're going to do what they got to do, and the Bengals are going to score like between 16 and 20 points like they normally do. I mean, with A.J. McCarron in there, they're going to be much more predictable of an offense. I don't think their offensive line is as good as some of the other offensive lines we've had to face this season. I think that we will shut down their ground game. We'll limit them to around like 50 to 60 yards. And when you do that and you force him to rely, A.J. McCarron, he will be over-relying on A.J. Green in this game. And as long as Antoine Blake's not covering him, I think that we can jump on those and get some interceptions and force some turnovers as well as the sacks, because the Steelers have gotten 3 sacks in the game. So my prediction is the Steelers are going to win, let's say, 31-17. That's my prediction right there. So take that, Lance, with your non-picking Steeler fan self.
All right. Well, I guess I'm the only one left to go here in the terms of the prediction game. I think this is going to be a very close football game. I don't think that either team is going to run away with this thing. I do think there are going to be turnovers, but I think they're going to even themselves out. A bad Roethlisberger interception is going to be canceled out by a bad McCarron interception or fumble by the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think that the interceptions are the name of this game. I think that the defense stands up when it needs to. I see this being a lower scoring game than most people are predicting, especially on Pittsburgh's side. I see Pittsburgh winning this game 24-21, and it's going to be close. It's going to be one of those games where I don't know if it's a game-winning Chris Boswell field goal or the Bengals have the ball with a chance to tie it up and the Steelers stand up and move on to Denver. But I like Pittsburgh for a lot of the reasons that Chris said, and because, well, damn it, I'm a fan, and that's what I think. And so that's what we're going to go with. So Lance, what do you got to say to all that? I mean, I know you're over there in your negativity corner, but at the same time, you don't think this team has a shot at winning this football game.
Excellent shot. In fact, if D'Angelo Williams was healthy, I would actually put money on the game, and I'd tell you that the Steelers would win by double digits. I just don't like the way Ben's been playing, and I think he and Haley have a tendency to try to play hero ball and will go the 50-15 route, which is a disaster for them in this ball game.
Only time will tell, my friend. Only time will tell. Hopefully this is not our last lead-in show for the Pittsburgh Steelers 2015 season. Hopefully we'll be back here next Wednesday talking about a divisional round game where the Steelers playing the Denver Broncos. If not, we're going to try to come back on the air to do a wrap-up show, talk about the season, talk about free agency, the upcoming draft, all that good stuff. And as always, on Saturday night, late Saturday night, you'll have myself and Chris Carter on the Steelers' Final Score, the Behind the Steel Curtain call-in show, to talk about the game that was. Hopefully it's a win. Hopefully we get to rub it in Lance's face. I like doing that.
Please.
It's fun. So
anyone that called in,
anyone that called in, anyone that interacted with us on Twitter, we appreciate it. It's great to have fan involvement. And, hey, it's a great day to be a Steelers fan. We're in the dance, right, Lance? You got a chance, right?
We in the dance, baby. We in the dancing. Got the shit.
I got to say, I was impressed by how you went from the Haitian Revolution to Dragon Ball Z in all of 30 seconds. That is some other stuff right there, Lance.
You got to love it. You got to love
you
it.
Guys
I do.
Are,
I do.
You guys are freaking nerds. That's what you are. You're freaking nerds. I hope you know that. All right. Anyways, why don't we leave with this? This evening, I think it's appropriate. I think, Lance, you need to listen to this and really feel it, Lance. I mean, come on, man. Just feel it.
There we go.
I feel it.
See, you don't feel this, man. You don't feel this. You're a hater. You're a hater. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Go Steelers. We'll see you next time. We'll get the job done. This is the year. We'll get that one for the thumb. Here we go.